Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and good evening, if you're listening in the evening, to the IGN UK podcast number 389. I'm Daniel Krupa, and I'm joined by...
Hello, I'm Joe Scribbles.
Hello, I'm Dale Driver, and there's no beers involved this episode.
Yeah, we're...
Oh, yeah, like, how was last week's
this
podcast?
This is our first E3 podcast.
What the last fucking mess that was.
Because I listened to about 20 minutes of the last one. We definitely didn't talk much about E3.
I don't know if I can bring myself to listen to last week's episode.
You have a particularly noticeable drunk slur.
Yeah. I was on it.
you can tell everyone's pissed, but when you're pissed, you have like an adorably stereotypical slur to your voice. No. It's wonderful.
I thought Gav was particularly bad on that one. He was hosting, so he constantly had to say.
But Gav's drunk all the time.
Yeah, like, but he was very noticeable at this point.
I'm always drunk. He comes in on his little piss moped.
He's the Mark Ruffalo of podcasting.
So if you actually want to hear about stuff that happened at E3, we're actually going to tackle this alternatively a week later.
This is going to be the mainstream
Everyone's moved on this week, but no, we're going to still do E3.
The first section
we're
going to
say we've done it. The first section is our favourite surprise of E3. Dale, I'm going to come to you first.
Sure, yeah. So mine was...
Why not?
Was A Way Out, which was announced during the EA press conference. Now,
it was a massive surprise to us because we were all on the plane.
What I was going to say, yeah, we're on the flight. And when I found out I was going to miss the E3 conference, I was like, that's okay. I'm not too bothered.
Of all the ones you can miss.
But then when I was catching up on it, they announced this new game and it just seems like really exciting. So you guys have seen the trailer for it, right? Like, it just seems like an original concept. So basically what the concept is, it's like a split screen, like prison escape, like action adventure game, where you're both playing at the same time, but there's like... So the example was, there's a cutscene can happen for one person, but then the other person's interacting with
them in the background.
Yeah, now, and it's just like...
I've got to know whether you can cross in into the other person's cutscene.
Okay, weird.
The example they show is like you're up on a balcony looking down. Because I think if you could get in the cutscene,
you would hilariously
stand right in front of them.
Yeah.
There might be a lot of trolling. It kind of ruin the narrative a little bit. Did you read Ryan McCaffrey's preview while you wrote for a site? So I thought that was really interesting. He got to play a segment of it. And so, for example, they're robbing like a convenience store and there's... Pardon?
Naughty.
Sorry, I thought you said why.
Why?
Because they're bad boys.
Bad boy's going to bad boy.
So apparently at one point you get to choose, like one person gets the gun and gets to be like you dealing with the cashier. And while someone else gets to deal with crowd control, and then there's a safe at one point, and there's like lots of like how you interact with the cashier like has a knock-on effect of how the person's interacting in the background and how crowd control controls people. Like, if you didn't notice that one person, then that can affect the other character. So it seems like there's a real...
It's sort of like Uncharted meets Telltale, isn't it? Like, it's got the action-adventure style and, like, motion-captured faces and stuff of Uncharted, but it's got that choice and consequence idea built, like, quite deep into it. Because the convenience store, he talks about in his preview, if you do everything wrong, stuff can still happen. Yeah. Like, it still rolls with that eventuality and carries the story on. Haven't they said, like, there's no game overs? It just keeps rolling?
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think the idea is
Heavy Rain sort of style, where all your interactions and all your decisions still, the story still continues. It just evolves into a different way.
I might be talking total shit there, but I think that's right.
I mean, that makes sense to me. It seems like what they've shown so far gives that impression. And it did remind me of, more particularly like Fahrenheit, you know, the opening scene in Fahrenheit. Did you play that? So there was, you're in a bathroom and you've murdered a guy, but you come in and you've got blood on your hands. And then there's like almost a timer for when you can see outside the restaurant, you can see a different camera angle and you can see the police coming in to investigate because someone's called the police. And you've got all this evidence in front of you and you've got to make all these decisions to get rid of evidence. And if you do it right, you can completely absolve yourself of any evidence and get away with it, but there can be things left behind that you can get caught later on in the game.
That's cool.
Which is really, really, really cool. It's a shame the rest of the game is kind of fucking
stupid. Doesn't it go insane?
Yeah, it goes mental. It goes David Cage proper mental crap.
We said, David, you don't have to put all your best ideas in the first scene.
But it totally reminds me of elements of that. And I think, but now obviously it's cooperative as well.
Mm.
And it just seems like such a different and unique idea. And I'm totally on board with it.
I definitely want to play it on the same surfer. You can play it online, but I think the way to play it is...
Yeah, so in the preview they said like communication is a big key about deciding, like, for example, like who's using the gun and who's doing this and like what are your skills, how are you going to approach a situation.
I saw a bit where they're in like the laundry room, and to distract the guy goes up to these two guys and slaps one dude on the back of the head. The guy turns around like he's at school and goes, it was him.
Yeah. It's also made by the developer of the secret best game of the last generation, which was Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons.
See, I never played that game.
Still one of the... It's genuinely one of the best games I've ever played.
It's kind of a shitty title.
It is a terrible title, but...
A Way Out isn't that good of a title either,
even,
I suppose.
Even you, hard-hearted Dale Driver, might shed a tear at the end of Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons.
Hey, come on. Not Nancy, boy. Hey.
I'll have you know, on the flight to LA, I watched Lion and I was crying like a baby.
I watched on the way back. Oh, I was bawling my eyes out.
That's a tearjerker,
that is. But for like lots of different reasons. Yeah. Like, one, like crying, cause, not just because of the sad stuff, the fact the family who take him in.
As well,
like,
yeah.
To have the heart to
it's
take
a brilliant
kid
film.
In. Yeah.
Not a good film to watch on a flight, though.
Mm. I remember when they were like PRing that film, when they were selling it very much on the angle of like the Google Earth movie.
Yeah. Really?
And it's just like, it's the least important element of that story.
I don't know shit about that film.
It's that one bit where that guy is basically promoting Google Earth to him as well.
He uses Google Earth to like find out where he came from in India.
Oh.
He
gets lost when he's a kid.
When he's a kid, he gets on a train by accident and just goes throughout the night and ends up way far away from his where he's born. 80,000 kids a year go missing in India.
Yeah.
Is that funny?
We've come a long way from a way out.
But this is my favourite surprise. This meaningful conversation on the IGN UK podcast.
Yeah, my favourite thing about the fact that this is from the Brothers guy is that it shows like what a weird niche hard-on the developer has for co-op games. Like, because Brothers is a weird co-op game where you play both brothers on the same controller.
They say I've sometimes had a weird niche hard-on
and that,
for
and that works successfully, right?
Yeah, it's great. Like, because it's one thumbstick and one trigger each.
Yep. Right.
So you've got them like moving around the environment, doing different things, but it's always simple controls.
Right, okay.
It's got that sort of Mario idea of like, they just do one idea all the time, and then it's another thing, and it's another thing, and it's another thing. You go like rope climbing and stuff with them. It's amazing.
I was going to say, because I tried to play Snipper Clips once with control in both layers.
No, don't bother.
It's fucking impossible.
Yeah, that sounds insane.
The most miserable experience.
Do not play this game is supposed to be fun and hilarious. I'm trying to eat my own arse. Nothing fun and hilarious about that, I tell you.
But yeah, so basically, he loves co-op. I don't understand why, but I'm happy that he does.
Yeah. I'm excited for this game.
I'm very excited. My favourite surprise was Mario plus Rabbids, which is how you officially say that game, Kingdom Battle.
Do you actually have to say plus?
Well, that's
do they
how,
say plus?
That's what they say in plus.
But is it? Shouldn't it not be and?
Well,
bringing the franchises
they
together.
Didn't do well, they're adding them.
Mario cross and Rabbids.
Yeah, it's Mario plus these Rabbids guys.
It's not an ampersand. Like, it's plus. I actually thought it looked really good.
I think it looks fantastic. Apparently, it's great to play as well.
I was going to say, sell me on this, because I watched Rory play it for about 20 minutes and I was bored to tears.
Oh, do you not think if you watch most strategy games, you'd be bored?
Absolutely.
To tears.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Sell me on this.
I didn't get to play it, so I probably can't do a capable job as Rory.
Yeah.
But we found out about this game in the worst way through a sales deck written by people who probably don't really get what that game is.
We made fun of it on this very podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. But we did also say it was a sales presentation.
You did.
I've got a weird niche hard on for sales presentations. To see it presented by, obviously, Eve and Miyamoto, and then to see the developer in the audience who spent the last 3 years of his life making this game, seeing Miyamoto present his game, it was obviously a profoundly emotional moment, and I really felt for the guy, because it's like, what a crazy, beautiful moment to have Miyamoto, probably one of his biggest heroes, presenting his own game.
Sitting like 5 yards away from me, that dude was as well.
Crying.
Could hear the tears.
Crying, he was taking all the credit and glory for it. So how have you doing? Come on, mate. And but to see it in action, like I thought it looked lovely. I thought the world design looked great, and I like the idea. Like Mario's had a long history of like genre jumping and appearing in different types of games, and the fact that it's out in August, like I'm really excited to play it.
Well, I thought when they were talking about because they were calling it an RPG, or at least the leaks were all calling it an RPG, weren't they?
Yeah,
and it's not that. It's not XCOM tactical turn-based strategy, which is mad, like a tile strategy game with what look like proper XCOM-y mechanics, like individual abilities mixing with sort of like cover-based shooting and stuff. Like, there's like really interesting stuff in there. Because I was worried that it was just going to be...
And flanking and cover and all those sort of elements.
I thought it was going to be like Mario and Luigi RPG style stuff.
That's what I thought it was going to be.
And that... No one wants different people in those games. So it makes perfect sense that actually they would never create them.
I never really got into the XCOM games. I've tried, but I've kind of bounced off them. Something about it being wrapped in that skin, I find way more inviting. XCOM feels very intense and fierce to me.
It's horrible.
And off-putting, whereas that's kind of lovely. And there's a Halloween world. So fucking well.
Imagine if there's permadeath. Imagine if Luigi Rabbit could get a big hole through his skull.
You start off as all the regular Nintendo characters, and if they die, they come back as rabbits, just endlessly repopulating.
Oh, that would be horrible.
And they become more and more like wacky.
That would be really funny.
I'm curious how
tattered. It's just a bit of red sellotape to his head.
Just like flaps of Mario's dead skin all over his face.
Hashtag sassy. Just the blood streaming down like Harry.
Hashtag sassy, just splattered in brains.
kill me. The rabbit just coming really close to the switch. Kill me on your commute.
So, I'm curious to see how deep this game gets. How shallow it is to begin with and how deep it can truly get. Because obviously it's got to be child friendly to a degree, hasn't it?
Yeah, does it?
Like, apparently it's quite difficult.
Yeah. Well, maybe there's an easy mode. That's the thing, though. I know, like, some kids will get into it, but I do wonder, like, kids just bounce off that.
But kids aren't going by genre, and they don't care after they've bought the game.
That's true.
And also, like, kids like lots of different stuff. Like, they get into weird stuff like that.
I played Shining Force when I was little, and that's basically the same game.
Yeah, probably imposing my preconceptions on that situation.
I think kids are smarter, or at least...
My nephew got bored of Minecraft.
What?
But that was when he was too young. Like, he got really into it a bit later. I think I've told this story before on this podcast, but his mum was once saying to me, like, oh, show Uncle Daniel you play Minecraft. He booted it up.
I thought you were going to say he booted his PC over.
Out of the window. he turned it on, and he just dug himself into a big hole and then got sad and turned it off. And he's like, he didn't really know how to use it at the time.
Oh, bless.
Just a game where you dig yourself into
a hole and got depressed. I was like, yep, welcome to my life, son.
And she was like, you fucked that up, didn't you?
Son.
Uncle Daniel's not going to be interested anymore.
Yeah, boot you out of the window, son.
Reggie Perrin, the game.
He loves that, Reggie Perrin Simulator 2004. Right, that was my favourite surprise, and I thought it was very lovely.
Mm.
Joe, what was your favourite surprise?
Monster Hunter World. Yes.
I thought you were down on this at one point.
The trailer, this is actually... So the surprise isn't that it was announced. The surprise is that it turns out it's really fucking amazing.
Oh, yeah. Good.
This is actually a good, like, 180. Not 180 is a bit extreme.
90.
Yeah.
The trailer worried me because it introduces stealth, which has never been in a Monster Hunter game. It's not, like, a deal at all. It had, like, a grappling hook mechanic that looked sort of... like it made everything easier. The whole point of Monster Hunter is that it's really fucking hard and just refuses to give you what you need most of the time. So success feels like a huge deal.
Yeah.
It showed all these things, a scout flies, as we found out they're called, which are essentially like clouds that show you the way to the monster you're trying to hunt, which is usually you go out in the world, you hunt it down, you throw a paintball at it. The paint can fall off it, so you have to paintball it again mid-fight later on. Like, it's... It never gives you what you want. And so I was looking at it just like... And they didn't really show any of the good stuff. Like, the combat didn't show very much of, apart from a bit where they were shooting a machine gun, which looked mad.
Yeah.
I like that now. So all these elements that didn't feel Monster Hunter-y, and they were all rumours beforehand, and I was definitely coloured by the rumours that internally they were unhappy with this game already before they announced it, and they were making a new one for Switch. I don't think any of that's true. I think that's just made up bullshit, but it's hard to get that out of your head. So I was watching it going, oh no, it's all come true. Like, they're announcing a home console game that's sort of neutered for stupid Western gamers.
Right.
Behind closed doors, they did a single-player demo and a multiplayer demo, and I went into those and came out, like, absolutely ecstatic.
Lots of people did.
It's like, crazy how good it looks. Yeah, like, Jose...
Jose, I spoke to Nathan from Edge Magazine. Mm. He was well into it.
Like, Jose came back from his appointment, sat me down, told me everything, and then told me he'd made an appointment for me to go and see
it. Well, Jose, what a lovely man Jose is. And, he's leaving IGN, but he's a lovely man.
Quick round of applause.
Yeah.
Well done, mate. Yeah, it's just... So, first off, it looks like a proper Monster Hunter game. So, it's got the basic stuff, like... And I know this is ridiculous. I'm really excited that you still have to sharpen your weapons. So I'm into that. But the major change is that instead of... So Monster Hunter, if you don't know, you always take a quest, go to an area where that quest will be, and then that area is split up into usually about 10 distinct zones, and you travel between them. So it's almost like when you leave one area, you fast travel to the next area. Okay. This one is the first time they've got fully seamless hunting zones, and they're like 2 to 2.5 times bigger than they used to be, which completely changes how the game works, because in Monster Hunter, if a monster runs away, it will run to the edge of an area and disappear. If you run away, you disappear, and it follows, but it will follow slowly, and you've got time to drink a potion and stuff. In this one, they showed a T-Rex literally chasing a guy from one side of the map to the other side of the map, and then picking him up and throwing him like off a cliff. And so it changes the dynamic of how you hunt. And also, their big thing is, I did an interview with them. The most interesting part of this is, I was like, so why now? You know, you've had these home consoles for years. Why suddenly change from the handhelds? Mm. And he goes, it's not really about the graphics. It's the fact that we want to make like really complex ecosystem AI.
Right. So they need the processor.
Yeah. So they need like computing power strong enough to power. So the way they describe it is, these would feel like real living places even if you weren't there. So all these monsters hunt each other and like live off the land. That's properly. Cool. So they showed an example of this thing called a great Jagras, which is like this big lizard, walks up to an Aptonoth, which is sort of a stegosaurus-y thing.
You just fucking know.
I know, right?
I love it. I absolutely love it.
Swallows it, like detaches its jaw, swallows it whole. Its tail's like flicking out of its mouth, swallows it down. They stalked it back to its nest, and it sicks up a big bit of meat for its pack, and like its whole pack runs in and eats the meat. And there's all these little interactions. So there was one bit where there was a, like the big T-Rex guy, the Anjanath, fell over, like stunned. And suddenly all these little creatures, which was too scared to take it on when it was up, like run in and start nipping at it. And like,
that sounds weird.
There's all these interactions. Like, it feels like the whole thing's about hunting, and it feels like you're actually in a place where you would go hunting.
How does the system like prioritize in that situation? Say, for example, you're trying to hunt it as well as these. Would they all just gang up together, or would they see you?
So that's it. So the idea is that it's constantly, I mean, I don't think this is as simple as this, but from what I saw, it's constantly prioritizing targets.
Yeah.
So there are modifications to this. Like the T-Rex guy has a state in which he hates you and will follow you forever. Oh, and that's peculiar to him. So the idea is it creates that Jurassic Park moment of being chased by a T-Rex.
Yeah, yeah.
But we saw a three-way fight where the T-Rex was there, the Jagras, which is that big lizard thing, comes in, and they start having a fight. And the T-Rex is like fucking it up. But then a Rathalos, which is like what a giant dragon that's been in every single Monster Hunter game, flies in because they're in its nest, and it's furious that they're in its nest because it's got eggs and stuff.
Yeah.
It flies in, fucks up the tiny little Jagras, that runs off, and then it starts a fight with the T-Rex because it knows which one it needs to get rid of in order.
Okay.
And then it just picked up the fucking T-Rex and dropped it off a cliff, which I've never seen in a game before. T-Rex is falling off cliffs. It's great. You can tell I'm really excited. Yeah. I cannot fucking wait.
So I've never, like, I'm not going to pretend like I tried to, like, get into Monster Hunter in a huge way. I've played them a few times, but I've never, like, had people to play with.
Yeah.
And I would like a mentor. And I think having four player, and yesterday we were talking, Capcom just did this like stream of four player multiplayer. It looks incredible. Like doing it with three other people looks awesome. Like, so much fun, like everyone doing like different things.
Yeah. Well, that's the beauty of it, is in the same way as other games sort of choosing classes with abilities and stuff, your class only changes based on what weapon you use, and all 14 weapons. It's essentially like choosing different fighters in a fighting game.
Yeah.
Like, they're so different and so in-depth that really, in the course of any one Monster Hunter game, I'm only ever using two weapons for like 200, 300 hours, and 12 other weapons I never use. Mm. But they all serve different purposes. So there's one called a hunting horn, which is a hammer, but it's also bagpipes. And
all right, back to that one.
It's amazing. It's one of my favorite. And it's like, that's the support.
I'm going to be in the trees doing morale.
But that's it. It's the support class. So what you do is everyone else is battering people, and you're standing on the edge just playing tunes on your fucking bagpipes to give everyone else like damage and defense buffs and stuff. And you've got to learn the inputs musical instrument, like little songs. It's incredible.
Were you on, Dale?
I've never heard about a hammer with an octave range before. Yeah.
What's going on? It's amazing.
And you used to work in the trades.
Yeah, I never had one of those hammers. I've got a selection of hammers, but that's not one of them.
Oh, I'll tell you.
But Monster Hunter's also like famous for being shit at multiplayer. It makes it an absolute faff. And in this game, it's drop in, drop out. So you can just shoot up an SOS flare and your friends can join automatically into any quest. It also used to separate single player and multiplayer quests, and it doesn't do that anymore. So it's just, if you're out on a quest and you want some help, you can tell the game that you want help, and then your friends can come in. It's like, it's going to be amazing. I cannot wait.
I've never played a single second of Monster Hunter, but I do want to try this. Yeah. It sounds really cool.
Like, hopefully. Well, they're definitely doing it playable at Gamescom.
Yeah. But, oh, sweet.
So let's get in on that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, a bit of...
I want to make a little hunting party and like just have some fun. It'll be great. Let's go kill some dinosaurs. It's going
to
be the best thing.
Oh, it's like I feel shit now because we've gone from our favourite surprises to our biggest disappointments.
Yeah, we haven't we've not really got the cadence. No, but then
we'll win it back at the end.
Shit sandwich, mate.
Yeah,
shit sandwich.
Right, ready for the big old shit. first off, Dale, I'm going to come to you. Okay. What's your big old disappointment?
My big old disappointment was there was no Final Fantasy VII remake at E3.
So catch me up on this. Like, they just giving up now, aren't they?
But the thing was,
they're
right,
still hiring for it.
They announced this. What was this, 2 years ago?
They showed gameplay 2 years ago. They showed like 2015. What's it called, in December? PSX.
Like, I love that they show that 2 years ago. That'll keep the little SOBs.
but then the whole thing about the episodic thing came out, and that made me think, all right, okay, it's taken a long time.
But we're going to get a chunk.
But we're going to get something, like, within the next couple of years. Long. And, so far, it's turned out to be, like, every Final Fantasy game is just delayed forever.
I know, and, like, it kind of rubs salt in the wound that we get the whole Shadow of the Colossus remake trailer.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy. The whole trailer. Have they announced when that's coming out?
No, they haven't at all.
But I think it might be before it.
That would be crazy.
I think they said 2018.
I would assume, yeah.
But the Final Fantasy VII thing, maybe we'll get something at TGS. We probably will, or Gamescom, or something down the line. Maybe PSX again.
Tokyo Game Show, I think. Like, I'm pretty sure they'll show it.
I said TGS.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Oh, sorry, I thought you said something else. My bad.
That's what you'd imagine, right? But I just felt like E3 was a big occasion, and Sony definitely could have done with,
a little bit of extra.
And I think, like, a few minutes of gameplay of that, and just a confirmation of it's coming, this is when it's coming.
Look at this.
Because, like, as a kid, I played through Final Fantasy VII like 3 or 4 times, like 100 hours a time. Yeah, I was obsessed with that game.
And the Eldale.
It's not.
That was even before they put achievements in it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. God, you should have seen me on Tony Hawk's 2, mate. Every gap. Got every gap on that. Didn't even need trophies in them days.
I feel sick.
In those days, achievement was enough to make me feel.
Not anymore.
Before my virtual trophies came along.
Always need to clear them out. They put any sort of inbuilt achievement system into a game, Jesus Christ. That drives me.
And just on a tangent, I read a really interesting Reddit post yesterday about like a guy complaining that if you put something in a game that lets you succeed better, he will do it until it's done, which meant he had to give up on the Deus Ex games because they give you XP for hacking into every single computer in that game, and there's like thousands.
Okay.
And he just got halfway through and was like, I give up, I can't not do this. Like, he was compelled. And I was like,
oh my God,
there's someone more fucked up than Dale.
That's like me with volume turned up to 10. Like, that's ridiculous. What were we even talking about? Final Fantasy VII, a remake.
Yeah.
I was really hopeful. I felt like there was enough buzz of, there's enough word saying that we might get something at E3. So I'd really got my hopes up high that we're going to see it. And for me, it's just getting to see what they've done, like how they've remade this game into the... I know we've got glimpses of it, but I want to see like a lot more of that. I want to see outside of Midgar and things like that.
Shenmue 3.
Oh, fuck Shenmue 3.
Project Rap Rabbit. None of these things you want are ever going to be as good as you want them to be.
Oh, absolutely.
Or even come out.
Absolutely. It's more curiosity at this point. I just need to know. Like the Resident Evil 2 remake, I just need to know. I need Shenmue to know 3. What it looks like.
Oh, it's going to be...
It's going to be an absolute fucking crash.
Shenmue 1 and 2 aren't even that good.
No, mostly... So. No, well, I think there's a reason they've never remastered them.
If you want Shenmue, just play Yakuza. It's good Shenmue.
Or just... You've grown up now. Go to Japan.
Just go drive a forklift,
you
fucking
nerd.
Go
work in Japan if you want. Oh.
That's basically the go outside. There's a real world outside.
I am outside, mum.
Game Boy, innit?
I've got a job in Japan. Well, yeah, you might have finished work, mum. I'll school all day. I've got this
some
now.
Forklift driving to do.
Got two bosses, have I? Right. My one is no virtual console announced for Switch. Now, it sounds a bit churlish because Nintendo gave us lots of nice little announcements. New Metroid game coming. There's an amazing Mario game coming in a few months. But it just feels like I love the Switch and there's good games coming out for every month. But still no word on online service or just old games. Like, they've got them. Why? Like, I just wanted to download some. I want to buy some right now. I'll give you my money right now.
What about, like, on the Wii? I spent loads of money on virtual console games. And obviously that's a long-standing thing. But not getting to transfer that over from generation to generation.
Oh, they're never going to... Yeah. They know that they can rinse you on every generation. Yeah. Like, they'll never take that away.
Unless they, like, switch over. And they, you know, they made some murmurings before E3 that they're going to, like, do this, like... virtual library collection thing, and it's not, you know, they said it's been delayed, but it's kind of faintly ridiculous that we bought a console. The raw console, we still don't know what any of this stuff is going to be.
Imagine if they were going to announce it like today, and then yesterday they brought out that Sega Forever thing, and apparently it's a bag of shit.
Is it?
It's so, like, apparently it's an emulator worse than most Sega emulators on the internet.
Oh, my God. And they made touch controls as well.
And Nintendo just goes, fuck that in the bin then. Let's work this out.
But they've got Virtual Console working before, so I don't see what the big issue is.
I would just love to have like a little tile on my Switch homepage that is like a little like tray full of SNES cartridges.
Mm.
Just do that.
It'd be amazing. Especially after they saw the success of the NES Mini as well.
The only thing is, like, do they want to make it a more, like, comprehensive offering than what it would have been originally? That's my only hope, that they could have brought it out and it'd be like, here's Virtual Console, as you kind of had it on Wii U, the variously priced, there's all this stuff, or they're going to come back with a super premium way of presenting it all.
They might
if
have
it
just,
is that, it'd be brilliant.
They might have just been holding it for Gamescom. Yep. Like, what else do they have to announce at Gamescom?
I'd also look at their whole strategy now. They just do a little announcements whenever they want.
Yeah. And they really seem to be shortening the
time
length of time
them.
You have to wait for anything. They're just like, oh, it's like out like a couple of months.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
I just think it's weird that they'll announce this big new stuff, but just like little fundamental stuff like that is still unknown.
Mm.
But you beautiful bastards. Joe, what's your biggest disappointment?
Skull and Bones.
Okay.
Skull and Bones.
So what part of it was... disappoint. Obviously, you're not a fan.
No.
But what point were you? Was there a point where you were ever on board with this idea?
Oh, I was on board. Yes,
bloody hell. What made you walk the planet?
Some people think this show's scripted.
There have been rumors about them making a proper pirate-focused game after Assassin's Creed Black Flag for what 3 years now. Was Black Flag even out then? I don't know. Ages.
It's been for a while. Yeah. It's been more than that actually.
And just to see it and go, they fucking done it. There's a Pirates game.
Yeah.
And then you realise you're the ship. Like, I'm not a pirate, I'm a ship.
Yeah. It's good, like, good. Do you get our email about why people like Black Flag?
Yeah. Like, oh, great. I get to choose what sloop I'm in. Great. That's what I want. Not the pirate's life of treasure seeking.
The way they teed it up with they were like, the fantasy of becoming the world's most kind of notorious pirate.
Yeah. For honor, but you're a boat. Like, it's such a fundamental misunderstanding of what everyone liked about Black Flag's combat. Like, don't get me wrong, I really enjoyed being maneuvering my pirate ship, doing
being
quite
a ship.
As part of an experience.
Yeah, exactly. But Then I got to leave the thing and they carry on and I fucking board them and like stab up a Commodore, well. Go underwater.
I think it's very unfortunate timing just with that great Sea of Thieves gameplay demo that we got. And then once
which is the ultimate pirate fantasy. Getting pissed and finding yourself out of cannon.
I did a 180 on that game. Like, I played it at Gamescom last year, could not give a fuck about that game. Mm. And then I saw that gameplay demo, I was like, okay, now we're talking, I'm on board. And then we see Skull and Bones, we're like, but Sea of Thieves was just over there and that was a lot better.
And Twitter was going nuts, like, oh, they just killed Rare because everyone on PS4 is going to have their pirate game. It's like, you want a 5v5 competitive multiplayer game? So there are elements that I'm interested in. Like, just today they said, there's definitely a story campaign, don't worry about it. And it sounds as though, basically to me, it sounds like it's going to be Pirate Destiny. So I think it's focused on the idea of being a pirate gang and going out and doing multiplayer stuff. But there is, it's a shared world and all that stuff. And I think the idea is you'll have a series of piratey missions, which will probably end with the Kraken that we saw at the end of the presentation. Yeah. Like PvE stuff, which I'm fine with that. Still not being a pirate, though, is it? No. Like, it's just being a boat.
PvE.
That's
right, it's all PvE.
Crazy.
My life. Sometimes he's like that in the tavern. He's like, sometimes PvP, sometimes PvE. It's a pirate's life for me.
You don't
me.
Hear shanties about horde mode, do you? Like, fucking, it's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Found a treasure full of XP.
Oh, God.
Oh, sweet. I got +5 pillaging on my sales.
What game was that they were demoing? Was it Anthem? Where they got the voice chat and someone's like, oh, you get some like sweet that. XP for that headshot.
It's always like that when they all like jump in and like, hey, how are you doing? It's never like, oh, fuck, I can't find my bus. Oh, I need my charging cable.
When have you ever played a multiplayer game with friends and gone, we should do that. I really want to do that place, but we'll wait for Kim because he's underleveled. No, you're going to fuck off the underleveled.
Kim, get out.
Kim, you scrub. Come back when
Kim,
you
go have your tea.
Yeah. And they wait for Kim. Yeah. Fuck off. That's a big blue cave. He's
grinding for 2 minutes. This is dead time in this Xbox conference.
Yeah. It's weird how little we've all as a group talked about Anthem.
Yeah, even though I feel amazing, it
feels so intangible right now to me.
I know what you mean.
Like I love the idea, look of it, and when he was like flying around this big prehistoric world,
it looked cool as hell. Yeah,
well, I've played that, but it's because it feels so unreal to me. Like, it
feels like it's,
I don't get excited about that.
Date for that. It feels like it's really far away.
I can't even remember.
Yeah. Well, we show that like scene in the market, which just feels like a BS shot. Like, I know they're saying that it's showcasing the Scorpio, but like. It doesn't, I don't know, it just looks too good to be like in game.
I love that we're still calling it the Scorpio, by the way.
Yeah. That'll take a while.
It's a better name, and it's a crap name, but it's a better name.
After the conference, so I spent the next week just saying Scorpio all the time. Yeah. And then I had to correct myself.
We said that with Natal, didn't we? I did that for ages.
Did you?
Although the Neo, that got dropped immediately. You said PS4 Pro straight away. Yeah. I feel like.
I forgot it was called the Neo.
Exactly. Fair play.
Because I guess Pro just feels more logical.
Just makes sense.
Why don't they call it the Elite?
I feel like
it's because they already have an Xbox One Elite model.
Do they?
It's just got 1 terabyte hard drive in the standard unit.
Not very elite.
They kind of shot themselves in the foot using that so early.
Yeah. I had to write the words Xbox One X exclusive today and it made me sick.
Why was it every time it said exclusive, why was it not exclusive? Take the E off the front.
Extreme.
Well, it's not the 90s, mate. No, I know you're still playing Final Fantasy VII in your head.
It would have fit in the brand. It would have fit with the branding.
It does feel. When they announced that, it did feel like it felt like a very 90s announcement. Like I thought he was going to do like the X-Men arms, like Dermot O'Leary on the X Factor. Just grow up.
Me and Rory were doing lots of exhibit quotes in the audience. X, go give it to you, etc. That sort of. It was all good jokes. All good jokes.
Good stuff, man.
You're not laughing now. You had to be there.
I read an interview with Phil Spencer on Eurogamer, and like it's right, like everyone's just going to call it the Xbox.
Yeah,
whatever. Nobody's going to care about name. Nobody cares about names like a few months in once they're just normalized.
Do you not feel like you call a PS4 Pro PS4 Pro?
I probably do because I don't have one. But I mean, like even the X, like it won't have a ring to it. Like it will just be its name in a few months.
Suppose,
like, like names are never as important in like the moment unless they're really bad.
Yeah.
Wii U.
I've really been enjoying my Nintendo NX recently, so it's good.
Played the crap out. Although when we all heard Switch, we all thought that's a good name.
Yeah.
Oh, Switch is brilliant. Yeah.
Switch was one immediately. Yeah, like, that's really good
name. Branding and like the logo. Well done. What are we talking about?
Don't know.
Skull and Bones.
You know what? I've never thought actually. Just whilst we're like not talking about anything that we're meant to be talking about. The Switch, is that the first name that doesn't necessarily make sense in Japan? Is it Western focused? Like the first Nintendo name? Because they have the word Super.
I suppose, yeah, to them it's just a name. It's GameCube. Not, the word Switch doesn't correlate.
Was it called, yeah, was it called GameCube?
But I guess what it signifies, I wonder what the connotations mean, yeah. I guess.
Anyway.
Because a cube is a cube.
Write in with your thoughts.
If you speak Japanese, write in. If you don't... But we
just piss off and play like, Shenmue again. Like,
if you don't speak
drive
Japanese...
drive a forklift truck around
you can
in
write
game.
In, but...
Mom, I'm writing about Japanese to a podcast!
Mom, I'll come down later. I'm grinding so I can play with my friends. Okay. announcement going
Kim, you will come for dinner.
Oh my god, back to Kim again.
It's all interconnected.
But guys, I've got a really high light level. We're not playing Destiny anymore, Kim. We're all playing Anthem.
This is the IGN UK cinematic universe. Kim's at the centre of it.
Kim, you
she's
scrub.
The key. Kim is the key.
Kim, you beast.
Kim, you beast.
God, that's such an in joke. Right. So those are our biggest disappointments.
Oh, yeah.
The big long shit is now over.
Yeah. What's a long shit?
We're going to get up and we're going to refresh ourselves with a nice little announcement that went under the radar. Dale.
So I think it didn't necessarily go under the radar, but they announced during a Sony conference a game called The Inpatient. And at the start of it, they announced...
It was a section where they announced like loads of...
Yeah, so
games.
That was... I think that was part of the problem because they were just bang, bang, bang. And there was a lot of them that you could easily forget about. And this one just looked like... a horror VR game, and it was the only thing that caught my eye was Super Massive logo at the start, and they're the guys who made Until Dawn. It wasn't until after I got out of press conference, got back to the war room, people were talking about it. Turns out it was actually a prequel to Until Dawn.
Yeah,
leave
with that.
Yeah, they never mentioned it. Apparently, it's set 60 years before Until Dawn, and
60 years.
They're
all going to be minus 40 years old.
Did you play? Is that
they're
right?
They're all like 20, aren't they?
They're all spending the weekend together again.
Yeah.
But did you play Until Dawn?
No.
So there's a whole section when you're in like a derelict hospital, I guess.
No
it's
spoilers.
Called. And so I won't say anything, but it's like an old derelict hospital that's been shut down for years and years. So that's the hospital you're in during this game, and it's like for mental patients or something like that. They didn't really say anything apart from that connected it to the Until Dawn universe, so you'd never know unless you knew the exact name of that place.
Mm. And this is a VR game.
But this is a VR game, yes. But I just thought it was fascinating that they never mentioned it, because there's a lot of fans of Until Dawn out
there.
Yeah,
you want to lean into that. I don't know if sometimes... You shouldn't do this as an E3, but like obviously some game fans will recognise studio names, but I think... Obviously, the mainstream don't at all. Yeah, I think some mainstream people don't even know what publishers publish what games.
I'd definitely forgotten who Supermassive was.
Yeah, like, and that was one of the first things they've done of like considerable note and success. But they in that section were doing three games, weren't they?
Yeah, so they did. I don't know if it was during the press conference, Sony did a little bit beforehand, didn't they? Or was it after?
Oh, yeah, they were announcing stuff beforehand when they did like Knack 2 release date.
So when I was watching the video earlier.
Bury that.
When I was watching the video earlier for The Inpatient, I saw another one come up saying Hidden Agendas. So I don't know what this is. Clicked on that, and there's another Supermassive game they announced over E3. And this one looks really cool. It looks like, plays a lot more like Until Dawn, and the same sort of premise and ideas about decision making and whatnot. But it's like combined with this, so you know, like the Jackbox games, like Quiplash and things like that.
Yeah.
So you've got this whole, like, four people can play with their phones as controllers.
Oh,
and one of you trying to sabotage.
They're really trying to push the PS Link thing.
Yeah, and you're all making decisions, like, so you come up with a decision and you can all, like, vote on the decisions and stuff. But it seems like, not just like the Telltale games where they have that mechanic, it seems like far more in depth. Like, there's mini games while you're doing this. Like, you're one person will get tasked with doing one thing and no one else will know about it while the game's going on. They didn't go into great specifics and details of that, but it just sounds like a really cool idea.
And they also did a third game, which is like, if I'm right, like the quite generic cover-based shooter.
Don't know.
I'm not sure about that.
VR.
No, I might have missed that.
I think
that
you're right, though. I think there was another Supermassive game.
Yeah, hopefully I'm not making that up. But it's like, I love that conversation. They're going, okay, can you make us Until Dawn 2? Or we can do three.
Yeah.
Actually,
VR games.
Do four if you
well,
want.
The two I Until Dawn. Basically, like, Until Dawn. One's a VR spin-off, like the Rush of Blood thing. Yeah.
We got these four VR games because, you know what, we're taking a big break after that one.
Why?
You see the textures in Until Dawn.
Why is it not called Until Dawn The Inpatient?
It's a good point.
I wonder if Until Dawn just didn't sell well enough that they think it's actually going to do better as new IP.
I thought it did, though. Like, I got the impression that it was a bit of a sleeper hit.
It was a surprise critical success.
Yeah, but let's face it,
none of us have the information to make this judgment at all.
Oh, it's pure speculation.
All of us are like, I reckon.
They're obviously making a lot of games. So yeah. Good.
But the Russian Blood thing they attach the Until Dawn name to, so there must have been some value to it at some point to do that.
But maybe at the end of The Impatient, it goes, Until Dawn. And then you're like, bye here. Yeah. Bye now.
Either way, though, I really liked Until Dawn. I know Lissia was a big fan as well. So I was like, The Impatient, I thought, yeah, it's cool. And when I got to the office, I said to Lissia about it. And when she found out it was a prequel to it, she all of a sudden she was interested and excited.
You need to reach these.
Sony need to give us this information up front.
You need to reach the Until Dawn ultras.
I'll be on all the forums. Until Dawn forums,
spreading the word. We call ourselves Dawners.
I suppose.
Sometimes I stay up right through till morning.
Oh God!
To show my loyalty.
A supermassive British.
Yeah, they're from. They're in Guildford.
Mate, go and get a job.
Alright, Jesus. Services are no longer required,
I seem more keen on them than
your own work.
Meanwhile, IGN announced a couple of things. A new TV show on the Disney Channel.
Yes. That was under
the radar.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like during E3, but yeah, it's kind of a big deal. Yeah.
None of us are fucking on it.
That's why, Joe.
I'm still waiting for a call.
It's probably because we keep saying on this podcast.
Did you not hear our podcast last week? The words bitch pussies was said about 13 times.
Not by me, my friend. Not by me.
Yeah, but apparently it's on like Disney XD at night, like in the Adult Swim. Yeah, so it's a bit more like
Disney are doing like an risque. Adult Swim.
Bit risque, but not this risque.
Yeah.
It's big boy shit. Yeah.
This is the true IGN.
Actually, I'm the one that says this. Okay, so my announcement going on the radar, it was so far under the radar, we didn't know what it was. It was Dishonored Death of the Outsider.
Oh, fuck, that was the one I was going to do.
So this was announced at Bethesda's conference, and even on IGN, there was a lot of confusion about whether this was DLC or a standalone game. And what it is in this new vein that Joe and I were speaking about earlier today that we're kind of fans of, is DLC, but like it's bigger than DLC, not bigger as a whole new game. And priced somewhere in between. It's kind of like Lost Legacy.
It's an in-universe experience. Yeah.
There you go.
Infamous did that a few times, didn't they? Do you remember?
Like The Last Light.
But they really, First Light and First Light. The vampire one, not Rush of Blood, First Blood.
We looked that up yesterday because it's got hilarious. Yeah. Protagonist,
but they released somewhere. You didn't need the game.
Undead Nightmare as well.
Alan Wake's American Nightmare.
Yeah, so like there's precedent for it. It's not breaking new ground, but like it's, I think, a really good idea because I think Dishonored 2 didn't sell incredibly well.
Yeah,
and it's also like this is a really accessible way of getting into that world, and I'm sure Bethesda would like to think it's like an on ramp to other parts of that universe.
It is weird because
the story bit.
Originally everyone assumed it was a prequel as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's set after the event, like quite a way after the events of Dishonored 2.
Right.
So surely you're sort of spoiling the game. I mean, Dishonored 2 was never going to end any other way than it did, really. Yeah. But it's sort of a strange thing to go like, this is the way in.
Yeah. Do you think they actually believe that's going to be the case, though? Are people going to pick up Dishonored for the first time with this?
They've made a point of saying, like, we see this as a natural entry point to the series.
Okay.
Other than the first game with the story at the start.
Well, more than Dishonored 1. I wouldn't have thought so.
You're right. It's an interesting thing because we were talking about, I really liked the first Dishonored. Well, I liked it enough. And apparently the DLC was fantastic. Yeah. I just never bothered with it.
I didn't finish Dishonored 2 either. I kind of stopped halfway through it. Not that I enjoy it. Like, it's an amazing game.
I think I thought it was one of the best games of last year.
I should go
back
to that.
Even if they'd released DLC at this point, I'd probably be like, can't be bothered digging out my disc and like trying to remember how everything worked.
Yeah.
But the idea is like, it's like a weird psychological sort of smoothing that happens when it's like, it's a new game.
Ooh.
Have some more. I'm like, okay. Also, her powers look wicked. Her version of Blink is essentially Sombra's teleporter. you drop it, and then you go do your stuff, nice. And then you're like, I'm going to blink back. And so you can go through walls, which you can't do with the other characters. I think that's really
cool.
That's
really
cool. Yeah. Like you're a fucking ghost.
So are you interested in this, Dale?
Not really.
we're back in the shit sandwich.
I never played Dishonored
a little bit
1.
More.
I never played Dishonored 1, and I started Dishonored 2. I played it for about an hour or so, and I just thought, this is not for me.
And
not
you don't see this as a convenient on-ramp to the series?
I don't think so. I'm not in the...
We'll try and sell it to you.
I'm not in the idea of trying to force myself to like games. Yeah, I kind of make a decision on it, and then that's me done.
And we're right down next to this one. Not for Dale.
Boring.
Joe, have you thought of one yet?
I'm going to say, as a backup...
Spider-Man.
No one paid attention to Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Don't know if you saw this little thing called Spider-Man.
I'm going to go super under the radar in that it was not announced at a conference that I'm aware of. So there's a Danish developer called Napnok Games who made two of my favourite Wii U games.
Right.
I've been meaning to write a feature about them for about a year and still haven't gotten around to it. Maybe now's the time. Yeah. They made a game called Spin the Bottle Bumpy's Party, which is a party game that used all the Wii U stuff in better ways than Nintendo ever thought to do it.
Really?
To the point where, you know, Nintendo...
the new patch.
The Switch's new patch has a thing where it vibrates your controllers to let you find them.
Yeah.
That's a whole mini game in Spin the Bottle Bumpy's Party.
And hide the gamepad.
Yeah, so one... so it's Wii modes.
Oh, it's on
the... And you just hide
right.
them around the room. And then, like, they kind of vibrate and giggle in the corner, and everyone has to go around, like, playing hide and seek.
Joe's using it to pick up chicks.
Yeah. It's amazing. No, just me and my friend Pete played it for ages in my flat once. He did a really... The best
that
ever...
That's 2 hours and one round of hide the sausage.
Best ever hide. Shout out to Pete, who's not going to listen to this because he's not a nerd. fucking nerds.
He sounds like he's a nerd.
He's not. Listen to how acrobatic this is. It's not. He got...
Acrobatics nerd.
I had one... One black, shiny, Wiimote. And he,
Kenneth.
And he turned it back, like, the front with the lights on, like, towards my black, shiny kettle. And it just sat nice. There vibrating in front of my kettle for, like, 5 minutes, and I could not find it.
Truly
he was losing his mind. It was amazing.
You were just looking at the wrong angle, Joe. Yeah. You just adjust your angle.
Yeah, like looking at the boy.
Black. Like 30%.
Like Phantom Black. The other game they made is a game called Affordable Space Adventures, which is the best simulation of riding a shit spaceship you'll ever play. It's incredible. It's essentially like a spaceship platformer, like stealth game almost, but you've got all the controls for your... your cockpit on the gamepad on
right.
Wii U.
Okay.
And so you're constantly like, oh, this bit, I need an electric engine, not a fuel engine, like switching over all your systems. It's like being a shit Geordie LaForge. It's amazing. So this company, I love them.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what they were doing. And it turns out they've really quietly made a sort of, I think it's a mini game collection, almost Overcooked-y for PS4. But again, it uses the PS4 Link thing,
using the phones. Yeah.
So the idea being that you don't need four controllers. You don't need, like, all this shit to play the game. Just one person downloads it. It's quite cheap. And everyone plays on their phones. I haven't seen much of it, but knowing Napnok, it's going to be incredible.
Yeah.
And I really want us all to play it in the office, because I bet it's wicked.
I love it when you can get your phones involved in games as well, because it means that anyone can play. Like,
yeah.
When my family's around, they're not interested if I hand them a PlayStation.
Exactly.
Controller. But as soon as I say you can play on the phones, they'll all have a go.
Yeah, well, we talked
the
before about...
The Jackbox collection.
It's great. Really, yeah, it's great.
I've got a group of friends who... When we hang out now, we always play that.
Yeah.
Because they like the idea of playing games together, but half the group can't play games.
Some of those games are tedious.
There's some really shit ones. I mean, all we really play is Drawful is the best.
I think Quiplash is really good, but it gets old.
But there's one where it's like a quiz, but it's like a murder mystery.
I haven't done that one.
It's abysmal.
There's a... What's the one? The one where you have to write, like... what a word means. Oh no, there's like a... you have to make up the word to go with a definition and stuff, and it's like balderdash. That's wicked.
Yeah.
And just why you don't know Jack. That one's good.
That was a really good announcement that went under the radar. So beneath radar.
It wasn't announced.
It never even flirted with radar.
Did I say what it was called? It's called Frantics.
I don't think you did.
There you go.
Yeah.
So it was even off my radar.
Yeah.
Thank you. Now that is firmly on the radar. No keyword count I'll say what I want, mate. and that was a bit of confrontation in honour of Gav, who's not here this week. Because he's not here, there's no keyword countdown. But that does not mean we are entirely quizless.
Absolutely not. I've got a game called Cade Yeager's Action Namer.
I'm not making a fucking jingle this week. No jingle.
Just put a guitar lick or something.
Sing a jingle.
I'm thinking guitars and harpsichord.
Yeager! So, Cade Yeager, as if you don't know, is Mark Wahlberg's character in the Transformers franchise, which returns this week in cinemas. 4 out of 10, according to Gav. Cade Yeager is one of the stupidest names in a film that I can think of. Now, we were talking about this in the office, Dale and I, and we realised that action films and action games always have this kind of Cade Yeager's actually a bad example, but flirting with a normal name, but just cool enough to make it memorable. Yeah. Like, so some kind of examples that we thought of were like, well, you thought of Johnny Utah this morning. Johnny Utah is a very good example. What's the one from that 360 game? Fracture.
Oh, Jet Brody.
Sergeant Jet Brody. this kind of thing.
It's just like that flavor of America.
Yeah.
It's it is kind of that. But there are some foreign ones, as you'll find out in my quiz.
None of that, mate. None of that foreign on this podcast.
Not anymore.
Well, my Johnny Utah and my Johnny English.
So what I've got is a selection of action movies and action games, all of which were released on Xbox 360, the home of the stupid B-movie action games.
So what do you want? What do you want, Jeff?
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you what the game or movie it was. So you've got a chance. If you just know it, you win. And
so we have the guess.
No. And then you get a choice of three names, and one of them is the real name.
Okay, this is a very well thought out quiz. Yeah, well done,
you're right.
Way better than that keyword countdown bollocks.
Now I'm going to start easy in Cade Yeager's Action Namer.
Okay.
Yeager. And this is the quite shit 360 action game. Army of Two.
Oh, God.
Oh,
those games suck. Now, I'm making this easy. Yeah. One of these isn't real. Two are. So you've got to choose the one that isn't real. Army of Two. Were the Army of Two made up of Elliot Salem, Grant Brink, or Tyson Rios?
Grant Brink.
Which one isn't
one
real?
Of those Grant Brink is false.
One of them's fake.
Middle one.
Can Brink. We say the same answer?
Say again?
Can we say the same
Yeah,
answer?
Of course you can. You're a team. This is co-op.
I believe that is. Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Salem and Rios.
I reviewed the third one. Oh, it was awful.
Is it the second one people loved?
They announced it at Gamescom. It was like, I think they just like, they knew it wasn't.
What's it called? Army of 2-3?
The Devil's Cartel.
Oh, yeah.
It was really not very good at all.
Yeah. I'm worried that because you got that so quickly that all of my made up ones aren't going to be good.
I think
enough.
That's just because I reviewed that one.
Do you remember Salem and Rios?
When I heard them.
Exactly, I didn't remember until you said it.
True Lies, the Arnold Schwarzenegger film.
Oh, right. So what? Is it Arnold Schwarzenegger's
character? All the rest are, Arnold Schwarzenegger's. Usually it's the protagonist. I'll tell you if it's not. I think you might get this again. Ooh. This is quite easy, right?
Okay.
James Fortress. Harry Tasker.
Yeah.
Jack Tower.
It's Harry Tasker.
Yeah.
It's Harry Tasker. Oh, you better not get all of these. I was quite happy with some of my made-up ones. I quite like James Fortress, because it's like fortress, but you say it different.
Putting a bit of a French spin on it.
It's a bit of an international man of mystery.
There's an interesting subgenre to the names, which is Arnold Schwarzenegger's are always more American, like wholesome, normal American than he'd ever be.
Yeah. Well, like John Kimball.
John
in Kindergarten Cop. He's got an Austrian accent. No one ever questions it.
I'll let him nowhere near my kids. You're John Trimble.
No, Kimball.
All right. John What's Fugitive?
Oh.
That's Kimball.
In The Fugitive? With Harrison Ford?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
And Hot Rod, he's Rod Kimball.
Oh, yeah.
So. Oh, it's all related, isn't it?
But they're American, not a guy, giant guy with Austrian accent.
I know. I'm just saying, I don't want a man who maybe killed his wife. I obviously didn't understand the message of that film.
The remake of Syndicate, Xbox 360, was the lead character, and remember, he's Agent, whatever these are, if that helps, Agent Colton White. Agent Miles Kilo or Agent Aiden Crone?
The first one?
Colton White.
Yeah.
You're going to say Colton White?
I'll go Colton White.
Incorrect. It was Miles Kilo.
Miles
fun bit
Kilo.
Of, fun bit of extra. Colton White's from Xbox 360 action game Gun. And Aiden Crone is the antagonist from 360 action game Time Shift. So,
just Time Shift. I haven't heard that one in a long time.
Yeah. You're an unnamed protagonist in Time Shift, so I had to go with the right. antagonist. Dr. Aiden Crone.
Fuck it.
Because it's like... Like Crone, as yeah. in time. Oh, yeah. See what, oh, well, bloody hell, mate.
Cyborg, Jean-Claude Van Damme. I think it's Jean-Claude Van Damme
in Cyborg.
I barely
remember this film.
Is it? This one's a bit easier. Sort of.
Mr. Cyborg.
Pearl Prophet. What? Prophet Pearl. Or Earl Roffit.
I don't know. I feel like it should be the last one, but it's probably not going to be. So it's probably going to be Pearl Prophet, maybe.
Prophet Pearl.
You're going different?
Yeah.
It's Pearl Prophet. Yeah. Well done, Dale. Pearl Prophet. He sounds like a stripper.
That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Xbox 360 action game, Mind Jack. Who remembers Mind Jack?
Like, just a little bit.
Was the protagonist of that game called Jim Corbin, Marcus Farron, or J.B. May? Do you like my little...
Is Jeremy Corbin?
Jim Corbin. Right. Jim Corbin, Marcus Farron, or J.B. May? Do you like it? Because it's like all the leaders of the political parties.
Marcus Farron.
Marcus Farron.
Jim Corbin. Oh. But it's spelled Corbin like Anton Corbin, like Dutch. Right, yeah. The film Bloodsport...
There's another Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah, there's a lot of those on when you look up when you look up action B movies.
When you look them up, there's a lot of them.
Bloodsport. Was it Frank Katz, Frank Dux, or Frank Swans?
Gotta be Frank Katz.
Yeah, I reckon that. One.
Frank Dux. D-U-X.
Unbelievable. They used to write anything, couldn't
Frank
they? Back
Dux.
Then.
Underrated 360 action game. Fear.
This guy Dux.
Yeah. I love Fear so much. Fear this is the yeah. antagonist. I think I'd get this one. Was the antagonist called Glynn's Pierre, Paxton Fettel, or Turner Rubicon?
Turner Rubicon is brilliant.
Paxton.
I'm imagining like the little juice drink.
Paxton Fettel, was it?
Paxton Fettel.
That sounds quite...
They all sound shit, so it's really hard to distinguish one from the other.
Glynn's Pierre, Paxton Fettel, Turner Rubicon.
I'm going to say Turner Rubicon because I really want it to be that.
Paxton.
It's Paxton Fettel. Glynn's Pierre was an Uber driver I had once.
I remembered
it.
And it's all right, everyone. He keeps tabs on you.
I remember, I just remember him being called Glynn's Pierre and thinking, I wish I was called Glynn's Pierre. Hard Target, B-movie, was the lead character in Hard Target called Victor Robrov / Lafayette or Chance Boudreau?
They all barely sounded like names.
Can we have them again?
Victor Rob... What?
What was the role in the movie, sorry?
Protagonist.
Protagonist, okay.
I think... Is it Van Damme as well?
I did think that. I didn't want to say...
I think it's Van Damme again.
God, he's versatile.
Oh, no, maybe it's the other one. Who's
the other one?
Who's the muscles from Brussels? Who's the muscles from Brussels?
That's
is
Van
that
Damme.
Van Damme?
Van Damme, yeah.
Who's the not that's him?
Who are you thinking
there's
of?
There's one who looks... Who's just like him.
The muscles from... Dussels.
Dusseldorf. There's someone else. It might be him. Someone's going to write in. Victor Robrov /
Dolph
Lafayette.
Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah, him.
Are they the same?
They're similar in my head.
They're not. They're basically what he means, they're not Arnold Schwarzenegger or Sly Stallone.
Yeah.
But if you couldn't get them, they're there.
Victor Robrov / Lafayette or Chance Boudreau.
I want it to be / Lafayette.
I'm going for Chance Boudreau.
Chance Boudreau is correct.
He's so versatile.
He's really
he's
good.
French, yeah, he's good at this.
He gets it. Battlefield Bad Company. Protagonist.
Talk about that game.
Kane Vance. Preston Marlowe. Or Conrad Crane.
Preston Marlowe.
Yeah, I was thinking Preston.
Preston Marlowe. Yeah. What made you think that so suddenly?
It sounded like...
It didn't sound too out there, I think.
Mm. Marlowe, I don't know. Like
I thought
Marlowe...
Conrad Crane was all right.
I think the alliteration...
Why does Preston make me think of war name? I know why Marlowe does.
They were British team.
Because
like,
Marlowe's in Preston's Joseph Conrad, Heart of Darkness.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I don't know.
Assault on Precinct 13, the original. although they're all the same names.
Yeah.
Was Lawrence Fishburne's character in the second one, so in the first one, not him. It's the same guy. Basically, was one of the characters called Washington Jones, Churchill Brown, or Napoleon Wilson?
Washington Jones.
Churchill Brown.
Both wrong. Napoleon Wilson.
Oh, God.
Napoleon Wilson. Final one. Greg Hastings Tournament Pinball 2. Was it Greg Hastings? Greg Hastings, but the Greg has two G's. Or Greg Hastings, but the Greg has three G's.
Ooh, three G's.
At the end. At the end.
Three G's. Always three G's. It's got to be.
Two G's.
One G.
Ah. Three G's at the end.
I just thought, well, you know.
That's mad. Why not?
It's like BMX XXX.
Back in those days. It's like the Xbox XXX.
I've got just a few others from Xbox action games that I don't have questions for. Kane and Lynch. Character called Kane. Adam Marcus.
What?
His nickname's Kane. He's it's Adam almost Kane like,
it's
Marcus.
Like, it was like, why can they just we want to call the game?
Just call him Kane Marcus.
Kane is a name. They can use that. What are they?
It's got Adam. Like you can call him whatever you want.
Yeah.
Nah. Adam Marcus. That's the character I've written.
Yeah. Dark Void, which like
we spoke about earlier.
Yeah.
Who did the voice for
Nolan
that?
North?
North and North. Yeah.
But he was like, this is like the opposite. This is way too posh. William Augustus Gray. What's that about? As
it's
I said,
like the Rocketeer game that was, wasn't it?
Yeah. Sort of Rocketeer. Well,
that's what I'm saying. That sounds almost like a bit Rocketeer.
Yeah,
you know,
maybe that's
what they were going for, like future was Rocketeer.
Was he World War II and then went to a different time period?
Yeah, that would make more sense.
I think he like, went through a portal to a different dimension or some shit. Like.
Maybe that makes more sense.
It was like vertical combat, wasn't it? Like,
no idea.
Vaguely,
I love that he went through a portal to a future dimension. Yeah, that does make more sense.
Yeah. I've got Gun and Time Shift, but I already did those because I'd run out of names. Section 8, Alex Cord. That was quite a good
Cord.
One. Cord. Yeah. And just proof that it doesn't have to be men, in Wet, it was Ruby Malone.
Oh, God. Oh, it's
Ruby
just like
Malone.
That conjunction between like exotic but everyday.
Yeah.
Relatable but a bit cool.
The other one we were talking about that I really liked, just because I liked the game so much, was Bruce Willis's Apocalypse, where he was called Trey Kincaid. That was really good. Trey
Kincaid.
If you met someone called Trey in real life, they'd be like a loser.
I would just leave the room.
It's the name of something you carry food on. Like, that's not a good name, is it? It's spelled different, obviously.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter to bullies.
No, exactly.
Importantly. Oh, thank you for that quiz, Joe.
Cade Yeager's action name.
From all the work he's put into that compared to the ones that Gav just reads out now.
Yeah, other people.
He buys off the internet. He buys off the internet.
That feels like a very much a one shot there, Joe. I don't know if
I'm going to do Trey Yeager's action.
Trey Yeager's.
Glamp. Forever.
Excellent. So what were the scores? Yeah. All good?
I was not keeping track.
You won.
I won. Yeah.
I mean, Dale
said it was a co-op game, but Dale went off-piste and started disagreeing, so...
He was like, this is not co-op, because I'm getting all the answers now.
I could tell that he wasn't working on...
Achievement
wasn't
unlocked.
Yeah. Right, a little bit of feedback before we go this week. This one is from Chris Dawson. I wanted to hear your thoughts on this. Essentially, for me, there are certain aspects, installments in franchises that I feel really ruin them for me. I'm sure you'll know what I'm talking about. It's usually a case of milking a franchise for all the money possible in it. The most recent example of this is Transformers. I personally think Transformers 1 and 2 are absolutely banging movies, with the third one still pretty decent in my opinion. However, I never watched and don't really plan to watch the two most recent installments.
There's a real roller coaster of standards there.
What's
I love that,
but what's
he
happened
actually
to
thought
me
three was good
but like
decent,
but that's right. What he thought
decent.
Three was decent but he
two,
won't watch four
one and two banging they've made two more of them nah not for me.
I just want what's the guy's name
anyway he's called Chris Dawson let's just wait
how
a second.
Do you like Transformers 2
let me count the ways. I feel a bit bad with it. We just like cut in there, but his next thing is, what are your thoughts on this? Do you feel that some movies can leave a bad mark or spoil a franchise you enjoy? Are there any films that you guys refuse to watch because you think they may ruin something? So there must be something about 4 where he's gone, not for me. Like hates the Autobots.
I'll tell you what he hates. Cade Yeager.
Yeah, maybe it's
not Sam Witwicky, I'm out.
Done. I'm really interested to know why he's out. On the actual question,
this is the Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull raped my childhood argument, isn't it?
Like, oh, is can this what
something
we had?
Can something? Oh no, no, no!
Oh, sorry. Say, like, oh, the larger
that,
issue.
That idea of like, can one film ruin films you loved?
I'm usually of the opinion no. Like, yeah. I'm can be very good at like disavowing stuff and just ignoring it and go, oh, that still is unchanged. Absolutely. Now I know that affects what now next happens to the thing I like. Mm. So it, in a more kind of real and like close way, it does continue to affect it. But I'm happy to like disregard. Yeah. Something.
So. I have been with you on that forever until recently. I had Alien Covenant, right? Without getting into what happens in it, Alien Covenant does a weird thing where it reconfigures that universe in a way like such that Alien is now
the origin.
Yeah. Alien is now a different film. Like everything now, like I know obviously I can just go, that part doesn't exist for me.
Yeah.
But there's something about going, by the way, this is why the thing you loved was the way you loved it.
So I've had to like have this experience in the last year with Dark Souls 3 because they've tried to revisit the story elements from Dark Souls 1 and Dark Souls 3, which kind of changes a lot of the elements about that original story that I actually really liked.
Interesting.
For the worse. So in I kind of maintain my own headcanon,
yeah,
where 3 isn't canon,
and
I know that's not necessarily the case, but I choose not to regard it.
Yeah,
because actually, I think it impoverishes the original game.
Don't get me wrong, I'll watch Alien, yeah, and I'll love it, and it won't change my love of that film.
But you know, the official line and the fact that it's the original creator.
There's something very strange about the creator just going like, by the way, here's all the answers.
I think what it shows you in that very real sense is the author is not always entirely in control of the meaning of the thing they make.
No, and then nor should they be.
And, you know, Lucas had this with when he went back and filled in gaps and added to his own universe that he maybe didn't fully understand what elements people loved most and the things that got taken on. And, you know, we've seen that with Ridley Scott. Yeah. It's a tricky one. And It's hard in the world now where things are being revisited more and more.
God, yeah.
I think you can... there's a potential to affect you sometimes. Like I remember the prequel trilogy. It did actually, for a short time, affect my enjoyment of the original trilogy. I just lost, like, the love I had for it for a while. And it took, like, a few years until I revisit them. And then I just kind of forgotten about the prequel trilogy. But for a while, it did definitely sour my experience with them.
Yeah. People say that about new good Star Wars movies. The fact there's just more of it in the world makes it inherently less special. I've heard that argument as well.
I've seen that. I think this is all Wikipedia's fault. Because everyone wants everything filled in. It's like falling down a Wikipedia hole of writing for universes, I think.
Everything needs to be a hot link.
Like, yeah, there's this idea that, like, we have to, for every citation needed, we need to fill it in. When we don't.
Answers to questions that no one asks the questions.
Exactly. Yeah. Or never needed an answer to. Yeah. The question's more fun than the answer, as it often is.
Yeah.
It's kind of strange.
Good question.
Fucked it, Hollywood.
But what is it about Transformers 4 that put you off, Chris?
I really want to know that.
I really want to know. So write in, Chris.
Because the thing about Transformers 2 is that the Devastator has balls.
Oh, God.
I forgot about that.
Wrecking ball balls.
Transformers 2 is an abysmal film, like beyond abysmal film.
There was out at 2.
I did kind of like Transformers 1. Like, not a lot. I thought Transformers 1 was fun. And went, cool.
Yeah.
That's all right.
So Optimus Prime.
The second one. Oh, my God.
Yes, me. Right, this is from Mickey Breslin.
That's a good name. It could be a good name.
Actually,
Kate Yeager.
Mickey Breslin.
I'm going to do a second round based on who's the real writer in it. Because I reckon serial writer Levon Young would also be on there.
Levon Young's a good name. Caught in a time travel drama.
I probably shouldn't say it, but we had someone apply for a job we're doing at the moment. I'm not going to say his name out loud, but I'll tell you off. We're off. Yeah,
Harry Tasker.
It's a brilliant name. It is a brilliant name.
Oh, I see.
I wrote in my feedback, brilliant name, at one point for a CV. Anyway, right. Hey to all the IGN UK crew.
Hey.
I've been listening to the podcast for a while now, and I need some advice about gaming and going to the pub. So I'm hoping you come to the
right place,
help.
Mate.
Right.
I've recently organised my first games night at my local bar. We played 3 indie games, Broforce, Nidhogg and Tricky Towers. It got a decent turnout, but then the week after we played Rocket League and the bar was packed.
That'll happen.
So, my question is, what other games do you think would be fun for a game tournament in a pub? I'm primarily using PS4, but can get games on Steam as well.
The problem is, Mickey Breslin, who I'd like to say is target demo. Target demographic, absolutely.
We usually play games then go to the pub.
Yeah, you've peaked with Rocket League.
Yeah, it's like a great
Rocket
pub
League
game.
Rocket League is way too accessible.
Yeah,
that's why I don't like it. Yeah. No, it's too accessible for me.
And it also makes sense to see that on in a pub. Like, it's got a really good spectator mode.
And it makes sense to watch.
And people get behind it and stuff.
But with that said, Towerfall.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
That'd play Towerfall forever.
What about Overcooked?
Yep. What you want is a game that multiple players play on a single screen.
Yes, yeah. I agree.
Like, and it's quite like quick turnaround as well, so people can go have a drink.
What was the dodgeball game?
Stickball.
Stickball.
Stickball's a great show.
Yeah.
That's
a stickball you could play with six players, right? Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sideways Shout, 1-2 Switch.
Ooh.
Well, I did 1-2 Switch in a pub. I hosted it. It was great. Because if people are drunk enough, like, we had to stop playing the clown plate spinning game because it got actually violent.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, full on, these two friends were punching each other in the ribs.
Yeah, do that in your pub.
It was brilliant.
Mario Kart.
That's a good shout, yeah.
Yeah, but Mario Kart's, it's four screens. So it's not one screen, yeah.
Good point.
Can we not go back? Can we not play the N64 version or something like that? And we can do four screens.
That shit, mate.
What?
No, I mean as in like one
display.
It's not
one continuous screen.
Oh, right.
Even if it's split screen. Like
Smash then.
Smash is a good one.
Yeah, Smash.
Although Smash is hard to read. Yeah. Like if you're watching Smash, it can be like, the fuck is going, especially if you've never seen it before.
I always think that
one. Why is that guy got a hammer and why is the music
changed? I think
that
when I'm playing Smash.
Yeah.
We've given a decent handful of games there, I think.
Yeah.
Like, try them out.
Well, what do you want, Mickey Breslin? Jesus.
Come on, mate. No Steam games for you, but...
Thanks for writing in.
getting more and more confrontational.
Yeah, know, yeah.
It's because it's beyond 5:30. We all should be in
really
the pub.
I really need a piss. Yeah.
Well, let me speed through Terry Hurley's email about Beyond Good and Evil 2, which I've pre-read and I agree with.
Mm.
There you go.
Done. See you
Thank
later.
You for joining us.
Terry says, hi. That's it. Now, I know this may seem a bit hypocritical to complain about swearing when I listen to this podcast and giggle like a teenage boy as some of your immature bants?
Mm, how dare you, sir?
Parenthetically, I'm a middle-aged old fart, for goodness sake. But I'm a little worried in the excessive swearing in the trailer for Beyond Good and Evil 2. The first game, while having mature themes, could still be enjoyed by both young and old. It had charm to it that prevailed even in the game's darker moments. Now, this new trailer for the prequel comes along, and we have more swearing than a film directed by Quentin Tarantino and Martin Scorsese starring Danny Dyer, which he'd pay to see.
I would also pay to see.
Because Danny Dyer would not be able to keep up with their directorial demands.
What?
You fucking what, mate?
I do love him. Have you seen that Who Do You Think You Are? With Danny Dyer.
I've seen one of the
greatest TV programs I've ever seen in my life. And unironically, you will come out loving Danny Dyer. I don't have a problem with... We're back to Terry. I don't have a problem with swearing per se, but to have it in this game is almost like enjoying Star Wars, then watching The Empire Strikes Back and having Darth Vader state, "Oi, you fuckhead, I'm your old man, ain't I, you slag?"
I don't know why being a cockney is part of it.
Or, "I love you," and hearing the word... sorry, and hearing the reply... I know, bitch. It's just not the same, in my opinion. What do you guys think? P.S. What do you think my chances of becoming a Hollywood screenwriter are?
That was one of the main reasons I included this email, because I love that P.S. It just came out of nowhere.
Well,
I mean, you could direct Danny Dyer. You're the new Nick Love,
you'd
mate.
You probably get kicked off the Han Solo movie, but doesn't everyone? Yeah.
Oh, God. Let's
I agree with this guy completely. When I was watching that trailer, I was like, this is completely unnecessary.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like, it's this weird, like, it's very Ubisoft. Like, I really like Ubisoft, but they constantly do things that make me go, who's writing this? Like GCSE students. It's mad.
It felt like, film students, like college film students.
Yeah.
They're like, they've got the, now all of a sudden they've left school, they're allowed to swear when they're making things, and then they just throw fucking at every other sentence.
It was a really good excuse, that coming out, for me to go and play Beyond Good and Evil for the first time, which I did when I was jet lagged this weekend. Stuck in, 10 or 11 hours and went through it. Firstly, that game holds up really well. Like, cool. I mean, and I'm excited to see them do more, even though it sounds like they're making No Man's Sky instead of Beyond Good and Evil, but never mind. But it also reinforced
everyone loves that, though, so it's fine.
Yeah. It's that, like, that felt like one of those... If I was going to compare it to, like, a cartoon, it's like Avatar The Last Airbender. Have you watched that?
No.
You should. It's fucking amazing. And I had that look on my face when I was told to watch it. But it is a perfectly kid-friendly show with extremely adult themes. So it's really enjoyable for that reason. Beyond Good and Evil is the same thing.
Okay.
This is like, I don't know what this is. This weird, like,
Swery monkey.
Cool yeah. cartoon world with, like, just horrible bastards in it. I don't want to hear those people. I don't want to be friends with them. Like, they're meant, from what I understand, you go around picking up those people as crew members and, like, recruit them. So you can choose not to. I'm just going to say, like, fuck off to everyone.
I'm off now.
I want to be alone on my ship, silent. I don't want to
be alone in space for all eternity than spend time with any of you cubs.
Yeah. 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 It's just horrible to listen to. Like, and I watched it again. Yeah. It was just like...
It just felt like one, maybe about three or four times too many. Like, the odd one wouldn't have been a problem at all.
I tell you what, if one of them had said, like, fuck once, you'd be like, oh!
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Oh, like a little...
Yeah, yeah, it's like, it's grown up.
It, yeah.
But it's not grown up. It's
swear all the time is childish.
It's gone more
like,
immature.
We do swear on this podcast, but I like to think we do it for humour effect and, like, emphasis.
Or just because, like,
sometimes,
that's
sometimes, funny.
I just do it instead of saying, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. like a filler.
Yeah.
But, like, to use it all the time is the sign of a adult mind.
It's just a weird thing. You know, people are waiting, what, something like, is it 10, 15 years? Like, something ridiculous for this sequel. Right, yeah. And to have it come out and be, like, firstly, pitched as a completely different game. Yeah. And secondly, pitched in such a annoying way.
It was, like, really weird.
He clawed it back a bit by crying on stage. A lot of that at Ubisoft.
You can always cry on stage to claw it back, and that's what I find, even with a podcast. And as my eyes begin to well up, I think it's time to say goodbye for this week.
Should we plug our run?
We absolutely should. So in actually, I don't even want to say how many weeks it is, because it's quite a frightening thought. I think in like 3 weeks' time, we're running 10K for Special Effect, which are an amazing video game charity that kind of use technology and they adapt like video game controllers and consoles so people with physical disabilities can enjoy playing video games. And we've done this run before. If you've listened to the podcast, I think we did it last year. Mm-hmm. If you want to donate anything at all, you can go to justgiving.com/runIGN. Mm-hmm. And you can make a lovely little donation there to us.
We're aiming for £2,000.
Yes, that is our goal.
Help us beat that goal.
I'm aiming to run it in 2,000 hours.
I do want to beat my time from last
there's
year.
There's no chance I'm beating my score from last year.
Much less
I've put on like 10 pounds since last year. I am not doing it in anywhere near
doing
the time.
Doing any preparation?
Yeah, I actually did quite a lot of running for the month before going to E3.
Yeah.
And then we were at E3. Yeah. And then I've been sick this week. But I'm going to like do a lot in the final push. Because I don't want to like it to be completely painful.
Yeah.
Oh man, I really wish I was doing it. I can't unfortunately make it this year, but last year, like, it was really like good motivation to get out there and do more running.
I mean, it's like fun to do. It's, I hope it's not as hot as it has been.
Oh,
this
it was
week.
Horrible.
I don't think it will
last
be
year as well.
I would die.
But yeah, if you can like spare anything at all, even if it's like 50p or a pound, please donate generously.
How much are you donating, Dale?
I
£1.50.
You will find out in all due course, mate.
Anonymous donation, 10p, which is still good.
I owe you one bar gold bullion. That's it.
If everyone who listens to this podcast donated 10p, that's a lot of peas.
I'm
just saying. Ooh, show off.
Ooh, a lot of peas we've got. Thank you very much for listening to our E3 special, only a week late. Maybe never listen to last week's podcast again.
Yeah, this should
burn. You can delete
that podcast
from your phones.
I'm really worried.
That'd be appreciated.
Very SEO friendly headline, that one. Like, often
that's a lot of people's first podcast. That.
Yeah, could well be.
Bollocks.
Oh, well.
Sorry.
They've listened this far though, because they're hearing now.
Yeah, if you've come back after last week's shambles, I'd love you.
Yeah, yeah.
I really love you.
It's only going to get better.
Now give us your money.
Fuck off.
I think leave it on that.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways – through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's H-Y-P-E-R-T-H-E-T-I-C-A-L.